the Hugo Award-winning SF Single Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester. I am an author, a blogger, a paladin, sometimes a podcast dude, and all-around functional nerd. And tonight we got something special. It's the first ever SF Single Podcast from my kitchen. It's interesting. I've done live podcasts before. I've sat around tables before, but not in my kitchen. So this is very different. You guys are all local to the Denver area, which is awesome. And we just got together and decided to do this podcast. So let's talk about who you guys are, because you're beyond the tropes. Or beyond the trope.
Is just it beyond the trope?
Just trope.
One trope.
So just the one trope. So you're only beyond the one.
Yeah, there's
you
only
don't go
one,
the
actually.
Others. Okay. So let's go around the table. I don't have my d20, so I can't roll for initiative.
Okay.
So do we want to go left to right or right to left?
Ladies first. Call me a misogynist, but I'll go
right. We'll go right
Wait,
to left.
So which of us is a lady?
That's the question.
We're
going
to go right to left. Tell people who you are and what you do.
I'm Emily Singer. I'm a co-host with Beyond the Trope. I also write speculative fiction of various stripes. You can find me on Twitter at Emily K. Singer or through the Beyond the Trope social media, which I'll let Giles give you at the end. Pawn that off on you.
And before we go to you, Michelle, what do you write? What do you like? What do you do?
Mostly fantasy, but I dabble in science fiction. I'm trying my hand at a steampunk at the moment. I always strive to have as much diversity as I possibly can in my stories. I almost always have some sort of GLBTQ protagonist. So that's kind of my specialty is queer fantasy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yay.
Michelle.
My name is Michelle Graham. I am the other female on Beyond the Trope. I, for money, make stuff up, get paid to be a total BSer. Blogger, writer of young adult sci-fi fantasy. Right now I'm working on a superpowers kind of story.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
Which apparently is, you know, the best thing ever.
Do you guys read each other's stuff? Do you critique?
All three of
read?
Us are in a critique group together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're also in a critique group, so we're going to talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Social media,
I'm not on Twitter.
Okay.
And I'm sometimes on Facebook, mostly just posting Beyond the Trope and funny writing.
Do you have an
stories.
Author page that people can follow if they want to?
I don't, not
okay.
yet.
So set that up.
I should, okay.
Giles.
I'm Giles Hash. That's Giles with a G, like I'm Buffy. I'm a sci-fi writer, young adult sci-fi. I've done some fantasy. And I used to blog on my own personal blog, but moved over to Beyond the Trope's blog right when that started up, actually, because it was easier to get good content out, and that's actually beyondthetrope.blogspot.com, which can be found through beyondthetrope.com. And I also tweet over on Beyond the Trope on Twitter.
And you like black olives on a pizza?
I like black olives on a pizza, or Kalamata olives, or green olives, or...
Just
I like
olives.
Yeah, olives are good.
And you have your own personal Twitter?
Yeah, it's Giles Hash, at Giles Hash. We're also on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. I don't do a whole lot of professional stuff on Facebook. That's mostly to keep in touch with friends from high school, but Beyond the Trope is the best place to find me for any kind of networking.
Very cool. And
yeah,
you
can stalk him.
Do you like The Tale of Brave Ulysses, the song? Is that one of your favorite songs?
I don't know if I've heard that one.
So your Buffy cred just plummeted.
Uh-oh.
Possibly. It's just that Giles is the easiest
reference. I know. And there's an episode where he and Buffy's mom regress to become teenagers.
That's
because of
right.
the candy.
Yeah.
And they're listening to The Tale of Brave Ulysses
mm-hmm.
by Eric Clapton and Cream. I believe it's Cream. That part
if
of my
it was
dear
Eric Clapton,
Google.
Then probably.
Yes. So, Beyond the Trope, how did it start?
It was an accident.
It was an accident.
We didn't mean it.
Okay.
All three of us were early to critique group, and we were just goofing off and joking around, and I said, we should have a podcast together, because this is funny. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
A month later, I emailed them and said, okay, so when do you want to meet and start this thing?
So really, it was one of the most arrogant things that writers could possibly come up with. You know, we're so smart and so funny. We should share this with the world.
They need to hear what we have to say.
Yeah.
And as of this recording, we've been doing it for a year and a half, and nobody's come and hunted us down yet, so that's a good sign.
A year and a half is pretty good. How many episodes?
Officially 63 episodes, plus a bunch of specials from AnomalyCon and
Comic-Con. So you've already passed the hump.
Yep.
So, I mean, there is the thing where
you can
go through iTunes and you can look up podcasts, and you'll see, like, 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 10 episodes, they walked away.
Yep.
And it just becomes a ghost town.
We committed immediately to a year. We said, we're sitting down, we're going to do this for at least a year. And then once we did an eight-month meeting to see if we were going to keep going, we're like, well, let's start planning out for the next 2 years.
Well, and based on the giant golden rings with the diamonds that you guys are wearing, you were honestly bringing in tons of cash, right?
We actually have to wade through it to get to our sound equipment.
We have cash swimming pools.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
you have the advantage of being friends, being in a critique mm-hmm. group, being local, so you can get together and record. So it's kind of like Slice of Sci-Fi. They're all together, they can get together and record, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. you can call people and bring them in that way, but you're all in the same room.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. It's nice to be able to see people's facial expressions mm-hmm. when you try to crack jokes.
Well, it's really funny because we've done a couple specials, episodes, because of the weather or whatever, where I have to Skype in or something, and you can tell, at least from my point of view, the dynamic is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're used to being in the same room and seeing, okay, Giles looks like he's going to start saying something, I'm going to shut up. And when you're just Skyping in, it's a lot harder to get that vibe.
Yeah. So I feel like I feel old. I do.
It's
so,
okay. She makes us feel old.
No, it's
baby.
It's funny because I joke about this now. I'm approaching 300 episodes on SF Signal. We've already done 240-something on Functional Nerds. Actually, almost 250 because we batch record like you do. Mm-hmm. So we do four at a time. And so some of the stuff that you're talking about I've already been through, and we figured it out. So, for example, on Functional Nerds now, we don't do Skype. We do a Google Hangout. And the reason we do a Google Hangout is because, number one, it's free to do video conferencing.
Mm-hmm.
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 So everybody can have a camera and you can see everybody's facial expressions. So now, Anelio and I, we used to talk over each other and interrupt each other. And it was bad because I wanted to ask a question or he wanted to ask a question. It was bad. Now we have the video. Mm-hmm. And so what will happen is we'll do this. We'll do a giant finger up in the camera. It's like, I want to ask a question, you know, or I'll take an action figure and drag him across the screen to try to distract him when he's talking. When he's really being serious is when I mess with him. But we started doing the video because of that
mm-hmm.
very reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have a better dynamic when you can see mm-hmm. people. And as you guys can tell right now, I am a total hands talker.
Yeah.
I talk with my hands a lot. It's like when I was driving down the road one time and I looked in my rearview mirror and behind me I saw the lights going like this, so I pulled over. The people listening right now have no idea what just happened. But you guys saw all the hand gestures, and that's what Anelio sees, and,
mm-hmm.
and we go back and forth. And so it's added a layer and a dynamic to it. So my suggestion is when the weather's bad and you can't get over there, use Google Hangout.
And we tend to do that for all of our business meetings. A lot of it just comes down to the equipment, and
mm-hmm.
it hasn't been too much of an issue. I think Gail Carriger's interview was the only one where we had some issue with some of the technology stuff. But
with Gail or with you guys?
With us.
Okay, I was going to say.
Her technology is solid. Like she's
yeah,
on
well,
top
she's got
of
a Mac.
Yeah,
I thought that was with Susan Spann that was the issue, not with Gail.
That might have been.
There was some like hardcore lag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that can happen sometimes.
Yeah.
That can
and that's
be
just
really bad.
Internet.
Yeah. What I've noticed is if you interview anybody who is either on the border or over in Canada, right on the border,
mm-hmm.
on either side, for some reason, internet kind of pings back and forth between the two countries, and you'll
mm-hmm.
get this weird lag thing. It's happened with Paul Kemp. It's happened with a couple people who have been up right on that border of Canada and America. I don't know what it is.
Technology is weird, man.
It can be, yeah.
It's the leprechauns.
So Gail is actually how we met.
Yes.
It is.
It is.
She is.
So Gail has been on this podcast quite a bit. She's part of our panels. We do two different kinds. We'll do panels and we'll do interviews. And she's been on the panels quite a bit. I've also done straight interviews with her because I love her to death. She's one of my favorite people
because
in the world.
Because she's wonderful.
She is. So. She absolutely is. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have a hotel room at Worldcon this year. Well, I probably would. But I wouldn't have such a good one. I kind of took over one that she was not going to be using. So anyway.
Sneaky.
Yeah. So she's an awesome person. She came to town for Prudence
mm-hmm.
and had
mm-hmm.
this little dinner thing. And you guys were there and I were there. And
yep.
you were down at this end. And
we were down
all I remember, is you guys saying something and me nodding and smiling. And I said something and you nodded and smiled. We couldn't really hear each other. At least I couldn't.
It was really loud.
It was. And ridiculous, because we're upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There were a lot of people at that table.
And we were all apparently very fond of talking at the same time.
Yeah. We all were just really excited.
Well, it was also late.
Yes.
It was late.
And there was alcohol involved.
There was. It was an English pub. Yep. Gosh, go figure with Gail.
I know, yeah. Right?
What a surprise.
So, we met. I said I wanted to have you guys on the podcast. Wonderful. You're here. This is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about... So, you were at your critique group. Who else is in your critique group? How many people?
There's five people right now.
Yep,
five
so
people?
Two others.
So, two other guys.
Okay. How many have stuff out there that people can read?
Nobody.
Me?
Oh, yes.
I do. Okay. I have a published short story.
Where?
The Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers 2014 anthology, Crossing Colfax. It is available on Amazon. I think it's in Barnes & Noble, at least on the online store. Store?
Stop it.
Shtick.
Also available on Kindle, etc. through Smashwords, I think.
Cool.
So, yay.
So how do you spell your name?
Emily. Singer.
So very simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
exactly
people should go
how
check.
It sounds.
And what's the name of the story?
Colfax Kitsune.
Kitsune.
K-I-T.
No, I know that one.
Japanese mythology.
I know. My friend, she has the spotted brown speckled cat. You know the ones I'm talking about? The really, really pretty ones that look like, I don't know what they
like
look
like. Ocelots.
But they're just awesome.
Yeah.
Kitsune is the name of the cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
And Kitsune?
I would not name a cat Kitsune, because cats are already mischievous, and then add in a trickster aspect to it. It's like, no.
And let me tell you, Kitsune wants nothing to do with you. Like, you come in the house, and she's gone. And then she hovers, like, around. Like, what are you doing in my house, weird person? Worse than mine. Worse than mine by, like, 10,000-fold. So, critique group, how long been going on? How long you guys been part of it?
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
Almost five.
Yeah,
or will it
close.
Be four in September?
I think so, something like
you know,
that.
We can math.
It's been a while.
2011, okay. I think, is when we first started meeting.
I think that sounds right.
Are you still challenging each other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
We actually renewed our challenge to one another in the...
Last year
or so. So that was fun.
We realized we were getting too friendly and it wasn't helping our writing, so we started going for the throat again.
Yeah, it kind of
makes
you happy.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We all five of us sat down... at one point right after the Colorado Gold Conference last year and had a very intense discussion of is this actually serving us and how can we actually get back to fixing our writing.
You have to be civil. You have to be able to get along, right? And sit at the table.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not challenging you, you're not improving.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a similar conversation with people because I've told my critique group, I'm like, look, I'm being way more critical on my own stuff than ever before, and that's going to translate to you.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take it personally. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So that's good. So you're sitting at this meeting. You guys are there early. You decide to start a podcast. What made you decide to call it Beyond the Trope?
Oh, we did, what was it, an hour that we just sat around trying
it
to
come
up
with... It might
have
been... Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It might have been, 2 hours, and we're sitting around trying to come up with these ideas. Like, we had this concept that we wanted it to be about the art in genre fiction, because we got tired of literary snobs just mocking sci-fi and fantasy specifically, because that's what we write. And we're like, if they want to like the literary fiction, then that's fine. Just don't mock us for what we like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, what are the key things about genre fiction? Well, they always have these tropes, and we want to dive in beyond those tropes. So we had a Google search and found out there wasn't anything else doing that. And that's basically what
we went through, like, five other different title name ideas, because none of us are very good at titling or naming things.
We're terrible.
Yeah.
Sadly.
So that's partially why it took so long.
So it's funny because if you went through my writing folder on my Mac that's sitting here, you would find Untitled Space Opera, Untitled Fantasy. I mean, I just do the same thing. It's like I'm terrible at naming things.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just, it's like sometimes I go Bob 1, Bob 2, Bob 3 for characters because I don't know what the hell I'm going to call them.
Well, I'm working on a story for a call, an anthology call right now, and all of the various pieces I've started are lesbian supervillain, steampunk villainess, things of that nature. I'm gonna need to come up with better titles for that at some point.
Well, you talked about how in your writing, Emily, that you always have like the LBGT.
Mm-hmm.
My critique group has noticed that I now write stories where I don't use pronouns.
Interesting. Huh. Okay, how do you get away with that without just using a character's name all the time?
Oh, I don't use names either, because sometimes I'll do first person.
Huh.
And so I will write an entire story where they don't know. And then I wait, and I'm like, what did you think? Was it male or female? And then they have, you know, it's funny because I'll be sitting there very quietly taking my notes, and someone will say, yeah, and then he said this, 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 and I'll get a little smile. And they're like, oh, crap, I just realized you never said. I just assumed it was a he. And then someone over here is like, well, I assumed it was a she. Yes! I win.
That's kind of great.
It is. Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So you sat around for 7.5 hours trying to decide what you were going to call this podcast. You finally come up with Beyond the Trope. And then what, you kind of said the premise, but how are you breaking that down per episode? What are you doing? Are you saying this episode we're going to talk about this? This episode we're going to talk about that? How are you doing that?
We kind of...
Why are they all looking at you?
He's our unofficial leader.
Well, here's the thing. We don't really have a leader, per se.
So unofficial leader.
But Giles...
You let him do all the work, don't you?
Basically.
That's what happened
let
to me.
Let him or force him to.
That's what happened to me. I ended up doing all the work too, so I understand.
Let's be honest. Every time we try to step in, Giles is like, no, I got it.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit of a control freak?
A little bit.
Well, and...
It's not true.
I'm usually the one who says, okay, what topics are we discussing? Are we coming up with an outline, like, 3 major points we want to touch on during the talk? Stuff like that. And these two are like... Let's talk about rainbows and sunshine.
Rainbows, lollipop, and...
So I like to see some kind of structure because we have a very loose, I don't know, podcast persona, I guess you could call it. We're very chill.
I'm completely unfamiliar with that.
Yeah, so. I know. I can tell
never
that
heard
you're,
of it before.
You're not reading your script anymore. So...
Yeah, Michelle's kind of the only one who comes with notes anymore.
I don't even come with notes anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, it's things like, if we're talking about a specific subject, say, mm-hmm. what was one we did recently? Book-to-movie translations. Michelle will
adaptations. I come with a full list.
A full list of things.
So I don't sit there going, well, there was that one with the, you know, there was like a dragon.
And the thing.
I think. Because they're all dragons when it's an adaptation, of course. Or we were supposed to talk to Josh Vogt at Denver Comic Con this year.
You should never talk to Josh Vogt.
Actually,
ever.
He was supposed
ever.
To come up and record the last
yeah, he was supposed
Michael
to come
Ritchie
up,
and...
but
yeah,
he got sick.
Yeah, so you shouldn't do that either.
So,
yeah.
So we talked to him
but we were going to talk to him about gaming, which I am not a part of. So I do a lot of research for stuff like that, just looking up things so that mm-hmm. when people open their mouths, I actually know what they're talking about
sure.
and can say something intelligent instead of,
Right.
I don't like saying,
Yeah, well, it sucks.
It does.
So does yeah, and,
Yeah, so, anyways, like that.
Based on a recording schedule, we're actually several months ahead. We actually have everything scheduled through the middle of September right now. So it's hard to stay current on current
it is,
topics.
Yeah.
However, we do try to touch on a bunch of them as much as we can.
You know the microphone picks up when you whisper.
I
so,
do.
Yeah.
We do try to talk about as many current topics as we can to try and keep it more generalized, stating that, yeah, when this episode comes out, some of this might have changed. And mm-hmm. so we'll do a lot of research on those, and usually the week before we're scheduled to record, we'll send out a blast email. Who are we talking to? Because occasionally we'll have interviews. What are we talking about when we don't have people in? Is there something we wanted to touch on? And to help fill that, we actually bring out our trunk novels sometimes. So that'll be a half episode where we'll read one or two pages from the really, really crappy stuff that we wrote when we were in high school, or last year, in my case.
Or when we were 12.
Yeah. And then we'll sit and dissect it the way, what was his name? I'm going to feel awful about
Jim
this.
C. Hines.
Jim C. Hines, the way Jim C. Hines did with The Spider Queen. And we'll just dissect it. Why is this bad? What can writers learn from this? And we'll jump in from there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's entertaining.
It is entertaining.
Hey, look at this really terrible thing I made.
Well, and that's funny because Writing Excuses does that. Occasionally, are you familiar
really?
With Writing Excuses? Mm-hmm. So they have brought out books that different people like Mary Robinette have written, and,
mm-hmm.
and they've kind of taken them apart and looked
mm-hmm.
at their synopses and their outlines and that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and did exactly that kind of thing. So it is it's not only good for the listener, it's good for you. Mm-hmm. Because you're sitting there going, you know, I have a fanzine that printed a Star Trek story that I wrote when I was probably 16. And I keep pulling it out every once in a while and thinking, I'm going to type this up and put it on my blog. And as soon as I start typing, I'm like, no. And then I close it and I put it away and I'm like, I should not put this on the blog. Because it's just horrible. You can't do it, right?
And that's the thing we found about Trump novels, too, is they're not even worth trying to revise and turn them good a lot of the times. It's so bad that trying to revise it with the talent that we've built over the years can be...
It depends on why you trunked it.
True.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good novel, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's just not a market for it right now.
Yeah.
And you trunk it. You know, I've heard lots of stories about that. You know, mm-hmm. people go, oh, I went back to my trunk novels and I found this one that I wrote and I really liked it. You know, Laura Resnick talks about she had the book that she really, really wanted, but the market just wasn't right. And then finally when it was, she was able to get it published, you know, so that does happen. I'm not saying that's the
or
normal.
Like if you trunk it because you can't figure it out and pull it out later and you suddenly have that brilliant insight of here's how I can make my plot work.
I can get out of the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a totally different reason too. But most of the ones we're reading are really not salvageable.
Yeah.
My character didn't die. His wife has been dreaming the whole time, and now he's going to come out of the shower.
It was a dream.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, we made Jazz's wife read one of mine.
Because none of the rest of us could do it without
dying.
It was
so bad, we tried to read it, and we were just laughing so hard. I was on the floor, literally laughing. I could not sit up straight.
Banged her knee on my TV stand because she was rolling.
It hurt. It was so funny.
It was impressive.
I wrote it when I was 12. I was very dramatic. Very, very dramatic.
Well, who wasn't at 12?
That's a good point.
It is. So you break down some of this kind of stuff. You've also done interviews. So who are some of the people you've interviewed? Obviously, you've had Gail on.
Mm-hmm.
Jim C. Hines, since we already mentioned him.
Yep, Jim C. Hines. He's
Gail
a nice
Carson
guy.
Levine.
Okay.
Tamara Pierce.
Jim Butcher.
Twice. That was exciting for me because he was at Denver Comic Con this year, and we had already developed a bit of a back and forth with his assistant, who's really sweet. If anybody ever gets a chance to talk with her, she's an amazing person. And I just figured, well, if he's going to be there, might as well ask and see if he'd be willing to come over for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to meet him, he's my favorite author. I mean, I mention him in almost every single episode.
It's impressive.
I love him too.
He's a great example of fantastic writing, in my opinion anyway, because he keeps me reading, and every time I'm done with his book, I'm like, I have to wait another year for one of these.
Have you listened to any of the audiobooks?
I have.
So now I can't read it without hearing Spike's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's become Harry Dresden too.
Absolutely.
In my head. He really has.
Which is why I was impressed when the other guy who they got to do Ghost Story, he played Lex Luthor's dad in Smallville because Marcia just couldn't make it for the recording of that. I was impressed that he was able to do a serviceable job at basically mimicking Marcia's inflections for all of the characters. It was obviously different, but not so obvious that if you had taken a year off between books. Like
haven't they re-recorded that now?
They have, because he was
able
to get
Marcia's
to it.
Did it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the other guy who did a great job. And
I know who you're talking about too, yeah.
I can't remember his name, and he's a good actor, so he was able to get in and do a good job with it.
Michelle knows his name.
She never watches.
As Michelle and I just looked at each other and shrugged awkwardly.
We had Jim Butcher. Who else? We had Susan Spann. She writes the Shinobi Mysteries, a samurai and a... Ninja and a Jesuit priest, sidekick on ancient Japanese mystery solving. She just won the RMFW Writer of the Year, Rocky Mountain Fiction Writer of the Year. She's a contracts lawyer out in California. So we did have her on to talk about some of the Amazon contracts that have been out, because she does a pub law series on Twitter. Really great information. She was nice to come on. Talk through contracts, which was really fun.
Angie Hodapp is good at that.
Mm-hmm.
We had Angie.
We had her and Warren on.
Okay.
Yeah,
they were some of our first guests.
Yeah, came in. Yeah, aside from Aaron, they came in. They came into the studio and did.
So you just said Aaron, so now you got to say
Michael
his
Ritchie.
Whole name.
Aaron Michael Ritchie,
who's always being taller than me on purpose.
Yeah.
That jerk. He's taller than everyone.
He was lucky, though, because he got to interview R.L. Stine for your podcast.
I was sitting right next to him. Yes.
But he got to...
He did.
He got to
see. Arl Stine is hilarious, too. He is so dry. He is so dry.
Best kind of person.
Oh, my gosh. He was just hilarious. And so to be sitting there, and I'm actually handing Aaron questions from the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and then he's asking them. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. So... Tons of people that mm-hmm. you've had on.
Mm-hmm.
Now you batch record.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do in Functional Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go out as far as you guys have. We usually do like 4 weeks.
Right.
And then that's it. And then we're looking at our schedules going, well, can you do this date? No. Can you do this date? No. I'm going to RP. Okay. What about this one? No, that's critique group. You know, back and forth and kind of
right.
figure mm-hmm. out. But we just do four in a row. But you said you're like out a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we did that is back in 2004, I started getting into webcomics, and the biggest irritation to me is when a webcomic
that's a mistake.
2 or 3 or 5 days late. I'm thinking to myself, you don't create an archive of stuff that's ready to go. So I thought, when we're getting ready, I want to be prepared to where if an emergency comes up and we miss a month of recording, we're not creating inconsistency.
Yeah, you're doing the what's his name, Howard Taylor. You're doing the Howard Taylor approach to webcomics.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. He actually has that fear. So he does month worth or more,
right.
especially if he knows he's going to be doing the cons or mm-hmm. traveling or, you know, he will bulk up on his comics before he leaves
mm-hmm.
and does stuff. As John DiNardo will tell you, I don't do that shit. You know what? I will go. Actually, it's hilarious. I am going to Worldcon
mm-hmm.
in Spokane.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Good. We all are.
Good. I have something. No. Because I've only had Butcher on once, so screw you. So
ask him again.
I know, I need to. I will go to Worldcon and I will do, like right now I've got about 9 interviews scheduled. I've got emails from people who want to do interviews. So I will do all of those interviews and I'll have 9 weeks worth of interviews. Mm-hmm. And when I come back, John DiNardo will be so excited. And he's like, oh, you got all this cool. Who did you interview? Oh, you got this one. Oh, that's so cool. Blah, blah, blah. And then about the 4th week, are you still putting out Worldcon interviews? Really? Come on. And Anelio is the same way. And we just talked about that. It was hilarious. He's like, why don't you just get maybe like 2 or 3 for Functional Nerds while you're there. And I get it, because he can't be there, so mm-hmm. he's not part of the episode. He's not part mm-hmm. of the interview.
Yeah.
So have you guys ever had to do that? Like, one of you can't be there, and the other two have to take over? And
I think the only time we've done that so far was for our May recording time. I was out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought in Aaron Michael Ritchie for a full 4-episode
streak. And that was when we were going to bring in Josh Vogt as well, who was going to tag team. So it would have been 4 of us in the studio still, and we would have gotten 4 episodes of stuff, but... Like we said, Josh got sick, called us morning of. I texted Michelle and said, aren't you glad I make you wing it now? I can almost hear the vein in her head.
It wasn't a vein popping. It was steam coming out of my ear.
Teeth grinding.
So,
very different.
Favorite episode that you've recorded? This is radio.
I don't know.
This is radio.
I don't know. See, and this is
take
why
a note on
I'd like to be prepared.
What's the one you had the most fun with? Come on. You had to have one that you...
See, we've just had a lot of fun interviews. I think one of my favorite interviews was probably we were at Comic-Con last year. We got to talk to Frank Bedore. And I kind of had a huge fangirl moment. And essentially told him he was my favorite person ever, and he was like, thanks! He was very nice about it.
Yeah, there's always that awkward moment when you go, you know...
Oh, wait.
Yeah, you're sitting there going, Harry Dresden is my favorite character! I love him so much, I just want to talk about it! Or, like, I had Vonda McIntyre on, who's this wonderful science fiction author, and all I can do is talk to her about Star Trek. You wrote Star Trek novels.
Uh-huh.
Star Trek novels are cool. I used to read all Star Trek novels. Oh my god, that's so cool. You know, and she's just giggling at that point and living with it. So
I'm so glad I didn't do that when we talked to Tamara Pierce. I was so proud
yeah.
of myself for that.
To this, I mean, I would love to have Diane Duane on, but if I did, all I would talk about would be Vulcans. I mean, Vulcans and Romulans. That would be the entire podcast. And a ton of people would be going, oh my god, Patrick, really? Really?
Yes. Really?
Well, yeah, we have that problem. Emily always talks about Tamara Pierce.
Giles always talks about Jim Butcher.
I always talk about
You don't really have as much
of
a trend.
That's why I always come prepared. So people can say, Michelle always talks about the same thing.
And I like that it was prepared with a couple of finger guns. I'm prepared.
I'm prepared.
Bloody Jesus. Favorite episode?
It's hard because I'm a terrible person and I don't go back and listen. But as far as to record, probably it's a tie between Tamara Pierce and Gail Carson Levine. Because they are both two of my favorite all-time authors, the books that I go back to over and over and over again. So being able to sit down and actually talk to them was just kind of mind-blowing and fun. So,
it is, yeah. Right?
Fangirl moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Giles?
These two are going to be surprised, actually, because it was...
not a Jim Butcher interview?
No, it was... Dave Robeson of the Roundtable podcast.
Oh, that was
Dave
fun.
Is wonderful.
That was so great
to be able to come on, and I got to practice doing an almost Dave Robeson intro for him, mm-hmm. which wasn't nearly as stalker heavy as his tends to get. But it was a great interview, and he has such a great voice, and I felt like if I could absorb his voice and make it my own.
That's not creepy. No.
I kind of feel the same way about Tom Merritt.
Yeah.
Tom Merritt has a wonderful voice. Much, much better than mine.
You know, I really enjoyed the Jim C. Hines interview, too.
Yeah, Jim was mm-hmm. Jim C. Hines was amazing.
That was a really good episode.
He is.
And he really wants to come on our show and do, like, a role-playing session with us.
That would be epic. We need to make that happen.
Yeah, but Michelle doesn't role-play.
We can teach her.
There's a reason to make
We can start. Replace you with Senda for the episode.
No, she would have to GM for us.
I got Pathfinder up there.
It doesn't mean we're not replacing Michelle.
Wow, guys.
Wow.
We love you, but...
I'll just stand creepily behind you guys and just keep going, what are you doing?
Didn't want to play make-believe
What's
with
that
us anyway.
Why'd you
what
roll
you
that
doing?
Guy? What's that one for?
What's that one going to do? Oh, no, you're going to die. Are you going to die? Are you losing? Who's losing? I always like asking that question when I come upon people playing a game. Who's losing?
That would be me when I tried to break down a door and critically failed my roll.
Oh, I had a barbarian who was swinging for all he was worth, and I kept rolling ones.
Oh.
Well, this one was worse because it was Shadowrun.
Yeah.
So, a bunch of ones, and so...
I was rolling, like, 11 dice or something. I got 0 hits and 2 glitches or something. Ridiculous. And my character is the fighter of the group, more or less. And I should have been able to break down this door, and instead I nearly concussed myself.
So just to throw it out there, especially for you, Giles, tomorrow night at this very table, we will be playing the Dresden Files role-playing game.
We just finished that campaign.
Yeah, I was GMing a campaign that took place in a made-up city that I had created.
Nice.
That would be awesome. I'll have to see if I can get a Friday free now and then. That's mm-hmm. typically date night with my wife, so I try to keep that kind of sacred.
Aww.
I mean, she could come with you.
She doesn't play, remember?
I know. She made this awesome character and then just let it sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that happens. It's like Michelle.
I'm just really awesome, and all I do is sit here.
She's like the Chinese gold farmer in this conversation right now. Yes, we know. You've never been on the podcast before. Say hello. So, when you're writing, who's your main influence? Like, who makes you go, I want to write like them?
Oh, man. It's probably a strange combination of...
Those are the best.
Robin McKinley and Terry Pratchett.
Okay. You like humor in your stuff?
I love humor.
Okay. She's really good at finessing humor, especially good dry humor.
I'm really dry, really sarcastic. I'm a fan of Peanut Gallery.
Because I am the Peanut Gallery.
But I also love the classic, epic, fantasy, magic everywhere kind of stories. Yeah, that'd probably be the best combination.
So you're going to write a book about two flowers?
Yeah, two flowers on a hillside, blowing in the
wind. Giles, and you can't say Jim Butcher. Like, who is a good influence on you when you're writing?
Two of my biggest influences, really. Well, unfortunately, I have to say Jim Butcher and Gail Carriger.
Okay,
because she has that same type of humor,
mm-hmm.
and there's a smoothness and a darn you, I'm up way too late kind of page turner quality what she writes. Well, mm-hmm. there was somebody else I picked up recently who, oh, right now Brandon Sanderson is actually really getting me hooked in. I've listened to both of his Reckoner's books that are out right now.
I can see that.
And I'm working through the third Mistborn book. I got the audiobook of that one, too.
And as a side note, super nice guy.
That's what I've heard. We're actually going to try and get in touch with him about our podcast at some point.
You should. Mm-hmm. You absolutely should.
It's just a matter of taking time out during all of the millions of things that I do.
When I did get to interview him, I was interviewing him while he was sitting in his garage signing books.
Huh.
Hey, multitasker.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what he sounds like on the podcast.
So do you also like to have humor in your stuff?
I love to have humor in my stuff. Okay. I'm trying to scale back on the project I'm working on right now because I want to go for something a bit grittier, but it keeps working its way in. So I'm like,
sure.
I have to make this funny. There's just no way around it. I have to make it funny. And I like slapstick humor. I like characters who fall on their back and then look up at the ceiling and they're like, that was completely inelegant.
Well, it's funny because I've said it many times, the two authors who kind of taught me that you can have a really good, engaging story that is a little bit serious, but have that humor in there are Jim Butcher and Gail Carriger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first time I read Solus was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was rolling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was hilarious. And I had read Stormfront, too, and I'm just going, oh, my God, okay, you can do this. Because I, like... you're trying to do right now, I would try to write serious.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want humor in there. I'm trying to be a serious author, and I want serious things. And very, very serious. And that's not my personality at all. And that's not how I do anything else, right? But I'm trying to write it, and it's forced.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So then when it's like, I'm turning on all the faucets now, say, okay, I can put humor in this stuff. And so I started doing that. I started putting humor in stuff. And then people, I gave an urban fantasy to my critique group. The very first thing I ever gave to them was a chapter from this urban fantasy. And this guy who is now my very good friend, and we co-founded a different critique group together, JT, he sits down, he's like, I've got your critique copy here. I'm really sorry there are coffee stains on it. And I said, why are there coffee stains on it? He said, I spit coffee out laughing. I was sitting at Village Inn, and I'm sitting there reading it, and all of a sudden, I just spit coffee out. I'm laughing my ass off throughout the whole thing. And I said, this is wonderful. I'm like, yes!
Good feedback.
Yeah, so now the goal is to get steaming hot coffee to fly out of his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Same question to you.
My influences... Neil Gaiman's probably up there.
I never would have known that. Ever.
I know.
It's such a surprise. Yeah.
It's
a massive surprise.
She probably is wearing a t-shirt with his name on it.
She totally is.
I kind of forgot I was wearing my
I figured
t-shirt.
You did. We didn't even pick up on the bit.
No, I totally forgot I was wearing it.
You didn't know she just picked that up in the thrift store.
Yeah, there you go.
She's a total hipster. Goes to thrift
stores. Hipster.
American Gods might be one of my favorite books ever. Neil Gaiman.
I'm listening to it right now.
Because it's wonderful. I'd love to be able to emulate Terry Pratchett. And get that dry, witty British humor, but I don't honestly think I'm funny enough.
Nope.
thanks, Michelle. I appreciate the confidence. Kiel Carson Levine and Tamara Pierce have been huge influences because I read them when I was in middle school and just starting writing.
So last year?
I was not in middle school last year. Thank you.
It was a year and a half ago.
Yeah. 2 years at least.
It's before we started the podcast, so at least 3 years ago. yeah, I don't know. I fluctuate so much of, okay, what genre am I writing? Who have I read recently? But it could be anybody.
I'm going to ask you guys that question here in a second. I'm saying it out loud so Michelle has a time to think about it.
We can just go to Michelle last.
Yeah.
You could. You jerks.
Which question?
So... with Gaiman, I mean, he's very different from Pratchett, but they did write that book together.
They wrote Good Omens, which is wonderful.
I've heard other people say they don't like it, because they don't like the mix of the voices together.
The thing is that when they were writing together, they created their own voice that was the two of them. So you can't really pick out, oh, this was Neil and that was Sir Terry.
And that is the best, to me, of writing.
Yeah.
Because, like... mm-hmm. I read The Wheel of Time, and I read the end, And I was trying to find what was Sanderson and what was Jordan, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the things they did really well in Good Omens, is that it has the very British, dry, witty humor, which both Neil and Sir Terry had, but it was still a unique voice that was just kind of this blend of the both of them. And I don't know. I think it's wonderful.
Do you ever read any of the Sandman stuff?
I love Sandman.
Okay.
I'm very slowly, as money permits, collecting all the trades. And I think I'm either one behind or I have all of the new run of the Overture comics. I might have entirely too many comics in my whole box.
I just read something about there was someone who was up for a part in either a DC or a Marvel movie. But she said that the character that she really wants to play is Death.
I cosplayed Death for Comic-Con this year.
So you guys have gone to Comic-Con. I have not gone to Denver Comic-Con yet.
I've
lived
twice.
Here forever now, it feels like, and I still haven't gone.
I mean, it's only a 4-year-old con.
Okay.
So.
Still haven't gone.
But it's pretty fun.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Both times I've gone with this fantastic group. So we've always been either doing panels or doing interviews, working of some kind, but it's just so fun.
I think I'm the only one of the three of us who went without the podcast. I went the second year that it was a con, and even as just a con goer, it's a lot of fun because it's relatively well organized for a baby con, and we have some incredible guests for a baby con. And
yes, there's a photograph of Travis Heerman on Facebook next to Commander Adama.
I mean, we have huge names coming to Denver. And we have quite a few really cool panel tracks. There's a diversity track, a women in comics track, the normal comics writing tracks, specific Doctor Who tracks for the 50th, things of that nature that... I don't know. I think it's cool. I'm a con person. As you're showing me your TARDIS phone case.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Nice. And Michelle has the Starry Night TARDIS.
Well, if we're gonna start whipping things
up. Oh, God.
Keep the pants on, guys.
Because I reach into my...
Here, let us just describe all of these things that you can't see. TARDIS key.
That's the key to the TARDIS.
The TARDIS key.
I have a different nerd showing.
Ah, yes.
Congratulations, none of you can see this.
That's what happens on these podcasts.
Those
hey,
podcasts
it's not my fault. It's not my fault they don't have video.
Of this? I don't think I want that.
So I haven't been yet, and people keep telling me I need to go to Denver Comic Con.
Yeah, you should go.
You think I should go?
You should just go and hang out with us.
Have you guys been to Mile High Con?
We're going trying to go this year.
Hopefully.
Trying to go?
We're waiting to see if we can get a fan table.
Ooh.
So we put in the application. We're just waiting to hear.
Oh, okay.
We've been fortunate enough to be able to go to all these cons as invited media. Like we went to Anomaly Con. Actually, Kronda Siebert, who organizes Anomaly Con, it's a big steampunk and sci-fi convention every year in Denver. She walked up to our table while we were recording an episode our first year at Denver Comic Con, and asked us if we'd be willing to get involved, and I got in touch with her, and we went back and forth, and we were able to do some really cool stuff at Anomaly Con. But the first year at Denver Comic Con that we went, they had Podcast Peak up on their website, and I thought, there's no way we're going to be able to get in, because we had, what, two episodes up on the website, maybe
like
three?
Like nothing.
So I figured, what's the point in even applying? And then I heard Aaron Michael Ritchie's voice in the back of my head. Go for the no. And
did he say your name?
Not specifically
Giles
that time.
Hash. Go for the no.
So I type in the application. I'm like, they're going to say no, but what do I have to lose? It's a Saturday at work and there's nothing going on. I hope my bosses aren't listening. So I filled out the application, hit send, and a couple weeks later they said, yeah, we would love to have you in, especially because our first episode we interviewed my wife, who's a teacher, and did literature in the classroom. And they thought, well, that perfectly fits in with Pop Culture Classroom, which is the charity that Denver Comic Con benefits. So bringing comic books and other forms of pop culture into the classroom to promote literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought us in and got us to moderate the LeVar Burton panel.
He hugged me.
She's still not over that.
I've been on a plane with Tuvok.
Ooh.
But he had his family with him, so I didn't bother him.
Which was very polite of you.
Yeah, that's classy.
Because I was sitting there going, oh, that's Tim Ross.
He's right
then,
there.
Wait, is that his wife? Oh, and kids? He's got a guitar? Oh, shit.
So, yeah, we're going to try and go to Mile High Con.
Good.
Getting in for free is usually the easiest because it means we can justify the time off work. Paying for it for me this year won't work because I'm actually taking weekend classes this fall, and my first one starts that Saturday and Friday and Saturday. So, unfortunately, I won't make it.
And they're starting earlier this year on Friday than they have in the past, which is good because like last year I had Karen Burnham and her husband come, and they came around 11 o'clock, and of course it didn't start till like 4.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go to one panel and then left, so that kind of sucked. But no, it's good. I'm glad to see you guys are going to come to Mile High Con. It's definitely a literary con. It's definitely going to get you an opportunity to talk to more authors that you can then get on your podcast.
That is what we love doing.
Yes.
That's why we're going to try and go to WorldCon next year.
Good.
That's our pie in the sky goal.
Road trip it out to Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Whipped cream pie.
Kansas City. Here we go.
And Giles' face.
Yes.
Well, I'm driving.
I'm going to try to go as well to Kansas City. And then we got to go down to Lambert's, the home of the Throat Roll. But it's so much fun when the wait staff is throwing things at you. Who wants a roll? I do. And they throw it across the room and you gotta catch it. And they
I come feel around like with the I big, would be bad at this game.
They come around with the big buckets of vegetables. Do you want some? And they spoon them on your plate. You don't know this place?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's the food's not bad.
No.
It's a gimmick.
It is a gimmick.
It's not, you don't go for the good food, you go for the gimmick.
You go for the throw and roll.
I feel like I would be very bad at that game. I would not get any rolls.
Get you one of those big catcher mitts.
Like the big Disney hands.
Exactly. If we all went together, I would just like suddenly get really close, be like, I need a roll, and then get away from you, and then just wait for all the rolls to head for your
face. Of course you would.
Oh man, that's what friends do. Friends get rolls thrown at their friends.
So if you don't get to go to Kansas City, are you going to go to Helsinki?
Yeah,
obviously.
Of course.
That's 2 years away, right?
Maybe. So okay. there's Japan, Helsinki, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. are all bidding for it right now.
That would be so expensive, though. We'll see what we're doing with the business side of it.
Yeah. When we're actually rolling in gold coins.
We'll see if we're paying our hosting costs at that point on the free Blogspot.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then it's a tax write-off.
Yes, yes, yes.
So now we're completely in the red, but that's also tax deductible.
So I want to know what you're reading, because what that kind of influences a little bit of what you're writing as well. So what's like the last thing you read?
The last thing I read was Prudence, actually, by Gail Carriger, because I was reading a couple of other books that I hadn't finished yet when that came out, and I like to sit down with nothing else to read when I read Gail or Jim Butcher. I am also currently reading Jack Campbell's, the first book in his Lost Fleet.
Really?
I picked it up.
So I'm struggling with it.
Recommended it to
I'm
me.
Struggling with it.
Me too.
And people have told me that it's really good military sci-fi. It's very procedural in the military sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually went through the whole thing on Audible.
Okay.
I don't feel like there was any character development. And people have said that that is something that they've noticed with it, but that it gets better.
One of the members of our critique group actually got into 5 or 6 of the books. So I'm in the first book right now. Mm-hmm. I'm maybe about a quarter of the way in. And I don't want to nitpick on any authors per se, but I am having that problem with it because it feels like the character is staying in the exact same place, and then there are chunks of sections where he's internal monologuing where I really think that it should have been written in first person instead of doing this internalization and then throwing it into the third person, because it's so close POV, even though it's third person, that it might as well be first person based on all the stuff that he keeps putting in. But I am having some difficulty with it. I'm going to finish it because I want to see what I can. I'm writing a mildly procedural military sci-fi. It's YA, so it's not going to be as hardcore as like John Ringo.
I've heard that the Lost Fleet is actually, for a lot of people, they feel like the space battles are very accurate to what would actually happen. Okay. And that comes from his background, I guess, as a naval officer.
Right, yeah.
The way the fleet moves, all that kind of stuff.
And that kind of makes sense. But for me, and this is one of the things I like about the very, very light sci-fi, which is basically fiction in outer space, I like bending the rules. I like having fun with all of the pseudoscience that can't really work. And the pedantic side of a lot of the really, really hardcore science fiction where they have to get out the science and have no fun with it bores me. And I understand why a lot of people like it. I have a friend who's a programmer and is loving Cryptonomicon because he's a programmer.
I couldn't get through it.
He can track all of that because he actually works for IBM, so he knows what's going on.
Couldn't get through it.
I get it. I get why a lot of people like it, but for me, most of what I read is more of the punchy. Well, if Jim Butcher wrote sci-fi, that's basically what
I am. Are you going to get the new steampunk thing?
Of course I am. Yeah. I'll be there day of.
Did you read the epic fantasy stuff?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay. He reads all of them.
Yeah.
That's good.
The only reason I don't review his books on my blog is because I was so much of a fanboy that I could not give it a quote-unquote
objective
review. But I've actually gone through and reviewed all of Gale's books because I thought they were good before I could claim that I was a huge fan of the books, and I became a fan because I started reading them.
Side jobs?
Yes.
Welcome to the Jungle?
No. I've been trying to
get Ghoul Goblin?
Nope. I'm missing a bunch of this stuff.
I have these downstairs.
I might have to
steal
them and maybe never see you.
So my favorite read recently has been the Expanse series by James S. I. Corey.
Okay.
And they were at Mile High Con last year. It's two guys, Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham. Mm-hmm. If you like space opera, or if you like sci-fi, but you don't want to be bogged down with hard SF, this is the series for you. They have it in there, but it's not Cryptonomicon.
Right.
It's not math. I'm not having to do math. You know, they're explaining stuff, but it's not to the point where I'm sitting there going, what the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The other book is good for Cryptonomicon if you want to get all the way through it, because then you can ignore the math while you're doing your work day and then listen to the story side.
Well, the other one that I've struggled with recently was Alistair Reynolds' Revelation Space.
I've heard
all over the place.
Really tough to get into if you're not looking for that much thinking in your books.
I mean, I think you've got people in time and all this kind of weird stuff. I don't know. Last book you read?
I'm way behind the times, and I just finished Soulless and just started Changeless.
Okay.
And also crap tons of comic books.
Like what?
Saga. Crap ton isn't a weight.
Yes, it is. Okay. Shush. Saga, which I codenamed Heartbreak. It's emotionally compromising me. Rereading Sandman. I have a bunch of Marvel comics I need to catch up on. Mythic from Image is really good so far.
I'm finding a lot of really good stuff from Image.
I'm really enjoying Image so far. I mean, Saga's Image, Mythic is Image, Sex Criminals is Image. I haven't started Sex Criminals yet.
Black Science, I think, is Image.
I haven't read that one yet. They're coming out with a new one this fall. It was supposed to come out, I think, in June, but they had to push it back so they could get everything ready. That's called Monstrous. That I'm really excited for. It's inspired by Chinese mythology, but it's set in like a steampunk Chinese world. And the main character is slowly turning into a monster from her work with all of these ancient spirits. And it sounds like it's going to be so cool.
It does.
It does.
What else am I reading? If it's got Norse mythology in it, I'll read it. It's a problem.
Like I just finished Jupiter's...
I'm talking comics.
Oh, okay.
I just finished Jupiter's Legacy,
mm-hmm.
which is superheroes, but it's like the second generation. So it reminded me of Infinity Inc. from DC or Teen Titans, really. But very much darker, more modern kind of stuff.
One of the things I really like about Image is that they don't shy away from the quote-unquote adult side of comic books.
Right.
It tends to be really gritty, and the stories they tell are incredible.
When they're doing the creator-owned.
Right.
So that's why they're able to do so many different kinds of things, because, you know, they're kind of opening it up, letting people do stuff.
I think it's a great house, in my opinion. I love my Image comics more than I love my Marvel comics right now. And I love my Marvel comics.
And I would have to go Dark Horse, too.
Dark Horse is doing some good stuff.
And I miss Eclipse.
And IDW has one that I'm waiting until I have a couple issues I can binge on called Infinite Loop. It's time-traveling lesbians. Nice. And the art is so cute.
Because that's what you want in a comic book. Cute art. Yes.
Well, you want visually appealing art. Because so. That's part of the art form.
Ugly art is so much better. Want to look at it and go, ew.
Well, and that's what I like about Jupiter's Legacy is they were superheroes, but they weren't done in the DC or the Marvel style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the big, muscular people and the women with the, you know, gravity defying everything and
all that kind of stuff. Okay, but Ms. Marvel...
Ms. Marvel's awesome.
Especially the new run with Kamala Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Her costume is okay. It's not super obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
She's a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sassy teenager. I have so many Ms. Marvel feels.
Do you like Miles as well?
Miles Morales?
Mm-hmm.
I actually haven't read any of his, but I'm not a huge Spider-Man person in general. But concept-wise, yes, count me in.
Well, I just had this conversation with someone else because I was talking about, well, it's funny, at Pike Speaks Writers, we had Jim C. Hines and Chuck Gwinnick, and we actually did a diversity panel, and it was hilarious with, like, three white guys on the panel.
Uh-huh.
We let the ladies talk the whole time, and we're talking to a sea of white people, and we're going, you know, elephant in the room. But, you know, diversity is more than just women. It's...
Oh, yeah.
Different...
You need to have... Different genders, different races, different religions, different political views, different sexualities.
Exactly.
There are infinite types of diversity, and we have infinite types of people that we can write, and I get really passionate about this.
I didn't know that.
I might have yelled at one of our other critique group members last week about this.
Ooh, is that what happened when I was gone?
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'll tell you about
we'll
that off
the
mic.
We'll have to talk about that later.
I feel guilty about it. I'm sorry, but... I get really, really passionate about these things because representation is important, and representation across the board is important.
Well, and what I just talked about, and I can't remember what podcast I was on when I was talking about it, but I said there are kids out there right now who are looking for characters to identify with.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they can identify with them is if there are people like them,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're looking for themselves, and if they can't find them, then guess what's going to happen? They're not going to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I want
or they're going to read and feel ostracized,
right?
And that kills the enjoyment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Passionate feels. Michelle's turn. What are you reading,
Michelle? What are you reading?
I read a lot of books simultaneously because why not? And I read a ton of young adult sci-fi fantasy, and then I do palette cleansers. So I just finished my palette cleanser, which was John Green's Paper Towns.
Okay.
Didn't
they make the movie about that?
They did. It just came out, apparently. It's really good. I haven't seen it.
But didn't, like, the actress have some sort of meltdown? Or?
No, she was doing an interview, and the interviewers introduced her with the wrong name.
Nice.
And then when she made kind of a what are you talking about face, they asked her why she was cranky. Yeah.
She
responded sarcastically, which I approve of.
There is a great YouTube video of Samuel L. Jackson where I forget how it goes, but essentially the news anchor mistook him for another actor who does the Allstate commercials.
Oh,
And so I think it was the Allstate
even
commercials.
Know his name.
And Samuel L. Jackson's like, no, that's the other black guy.
Because there's
the
only
one.
Two.
Yeah,
there's
only. And he just like.
Oh my god.
He wouldn't let it go. It's like a 4 to 6 minute thing where he just, you know, every couple of minutes, they're trying to move on and he won't move on.
I mean, for good
He's
reason.
He's like, I'm the credit card guy. I'm the credit card guy. I do the credit card commercials. You know, and just back and forth. Oh, it was hilarious.
That's so
absolutely hilarious.
That's painful.
Go Google search that.
Yeah, anyways, before that, I just finished reading Marie Lu's Legend series. And the third book in Maggie Stiefvater's Raven Boys series.
Okay.
And then this week I started reading Neil Gaiman's American Gods.
Wow.
Finally!
Why would you do that?
Finally!
Because I keep yelling at her.
Emily keeps talking about it, and I feel like in order for us to stay friends, I need to know what in the world she's talking about.
Well, I think it was our second episode when we were talking about comics. I told you both I couldn't be friends with you if you hadn't read Sandman.
So that part where he's on the plane, and then... Oh, no.
You mean in, like, chapter two?
In the very beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Kind of an eclectic.
Are you reading it or listening?
Listening. I read Paper Towns' paper version, but most of the books I read are actually while I'm driving to work, so they're audio, which I love.
I had a critique group in Colorado Springs, so I would do the audiobook because I'd go back and forth. Believe it or not, I'm actually driving to Colorado Springs for a critique group for years.
Wow.
Because I couldn't find one here that I liked, and I really liked this one. And then I started dating someone down there, so then I'm going back and forth
all the time,
and I'm listening to audiobooks and stuff. Mm-hmm. I even got the little thing, because my car doesn't have any way to plug my phone in, so I got the little FM transmitter thing, you know, so I could listen to through the stereo. I'm all cool. I'm like 1972.
One of those cassette adapters?
I have a tape deck adapter.
Well, this isn't a tape deck. It's actually an FM transmitter. So you stick it in
I had one of those, and mine just wouldn't work, which is why I got the tape deck one.
Well, I figured out which stations I could listen to from here to there. Hmm. And so I would just be like driving along, and then it's like... And I would switch the stations back and forth. And
that drove me crazy.
So I did that for a long time, kind of going to the audiobooks back and forth. So I've really gotten into the audiobooks now. But like I said, it's funny, the voice gets in your head. So with The Expanse, there's one book that the guy didn't record, and it bugs the shit out of me. I want them to re-record it just like Marsters did.
Right.
So now, audiobooks?
Nope.
No? You read. Kindle?
I read. I have both. I like the portability that the Kindle affords, but I still really like having the physical book. I keep trying audiobooks because everyone raves about them, and it would be great to have something productive to do while I'm driving, but I just can't do it.
It really depends on the actor.
It does. The narrator.
Well, it's the narrator of the Raven Boy series, Will Patton. He's the guy who played the coach on Remember the Titans. He looks like a really meek, blonde, white guy. He looks so nice, but he has this, like, super deep, intense voice, and it gets really gritty, and it's just so fun to listen to. It's like going to the theater.
Is it's just really hard for me to multitask a book and something else.
Do you like Star Trek?
Yes.
Did you watch The Next Generation?
Mm-hmm.
Go and look for the Peter David books about Q.
I think I might actually have one of those.
They're narrated by John DeLancey and Nigel Barrett Roddenberry.
Okay.
Playing Q and Loxana Troy.
I can get behind that.
Hilarious. Hilarious. I got turned on to them by Jeff Patterson on the podcast. They're wonderful. Because John DeLancey, oh my God, right?
Well, and then you can't go wrong with John DeLancey.
And then you get Nigel Barrett in there, and it's just like, it's fantastic. That might get you turned on to audiobooks. Because it is about the narrator. If it's not a good narrator, it's not going to work for you.
A good narrator can make a mediocre book really good. Like, just some random memoir about somebody I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. If you get the right narrator with the right inflections, they can create an extra energy there that makes you feel like you're actually having a conversation with that person.
Mm-hmm. My biggest problem, honestly, is that if I'm reading or listening to a book, that's all I can do. So I've tried it in the car, and I get so distracted either by driving that I miss parts of the book and have to rewind, or I find myself listening to the book and going, oh crap, I'm not in my lane. Or if I'm sitting at home, I can't do anything else besides listen to the book, or I have the same problem. And if I'm going to sit down and just listen to a book, I might as well just read it.
Try being on Monument Hill as you're coming back from Colorado Springs at like 1 a.m. in the morning when it's snowing and you're listening to Changes and they're already down south. And you're just going, no. And you're driving, you're trying to stay on the road, and the snow's coming down. It's terrible.
That sounded terrible. That's why we laughed.
Experiences I don't think I need to repeat.
So, believe it or not, we're running out of time. Because we've been going for a while now.
Oops.
And so I kind of want to, no, I want to start wrapping it up. And there's a couple different things I'd like to do. One, why don't you tell people a little bit about what's upcoming on Beyond the Trope so that they know and they can go listen?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got upcoming?
Dear friend with the schedule.
Dear Giles, who has everything memorized.
He'll inform you with the things we have coming up in the next couple of months.
Oh, like events and stuff?
Yeah, events and stuff, and I'll look up on the website.
Well, we will be teaching a Tropes 101, are we calling it a seminar, panel, something?
Workshop?
Workshop at Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers.
Nice.
Middle of September.
Also at Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers, Colorado Gold, I will be teaching, co-teaching a Writing the Basics of Queer Characters for Any Genre workshop.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun.
October, we're hopefully going to be at
Mile High Con.
Planning on it so far.
Good.
Those are our two big...
We'll probably have some sort of holiday party.
Hurrahs.
For the holidays.
Maybe.
Friday night, there's an author mixer.
We'll probably be at that.
So you got to come to that.
That's a good idea.
Introduce you around.
Ooh.
Meet everybody. Say hello.
I've always wanted to be pretty and popular.
We might be doing our first ever live recording that's not at a con, where we might even set up a PA. There's a coffee shop.
Live recording. We've never done that before.
Well, yeah, kind of. The cons kind of count.
But they don't go up.
Are you going to be recording in Enchanted Grounds?
No.
I love Enchanted Grounds.
Don't you? You know there's another one now? There's two.
Where's the other one?
Bowls and... I forget what it is. But
that's even further away from me.
It's a little bit... Santa Fe and Bowls.
Okay.
Can I go that area? Not that far. So that's... Where are you?
Slightly northeast, northwest of you.
Okay. Yeah, so either one. You're like me. Either one of them is too far.
Yeah, basically.
We need one on this side of town.
Please.
Right?
Yeah.
Dear Enchanted Grounds, please make that a thing.
You know, they have a podcast, too.
I did not.
Yeah, they recorded inside. I recorded one episode there, and people bitched about the,
the sound.
Oh, coffee.
The coffee thing going...
Yeah,
that was not good.
Yeah. So
sorry.
Keep an eye out on Twitter for that. We'll have information on Twitter when we confirm something along those lines.
About the coffee sounds.
Other than that, on the actual feed, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we're going to be talking about Kindle's unlimited, the Kindle Unlimited pay-per-page policy.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
We have passionate feels about that, too.
We get very excited.
That's what we talk about, like... I kind of understand the concept, but in the end don't agree with the precedent that it sets. And that's where we all kind of landed. The week after that, we have a trunk novel from a listener. Listener actually sent in some pages. So
it's
that's the first
fun.
One
wonderful.
That we've been able to take from a fan, which was a lot of fun. Other than that, I don't think we have a whole lot specifically scheduled up.
Things and stuff.
What are some of our recent ones?
Recently?
We did a bunch of... A lot of our interviews with Aaron Michael Ritchie just went up.
Okay.
So we talk about
rejection,
things and stuff.
Yep.
Things and
writing feedback, conventions. He just updated us on the things that he's doing with his life. And the week before that, local indie author Todd Newton came on and talked to us about what it's like to self-publish and the important things to think about.
Did you ever get Josh actually on? Josh
yes,
Rowe?
We got him.
Okay,
in.
So you did eventually get him on.
Yeah, we got him in at Denver Comic Con because he was there with Wordfire Press.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to bring him in and talk about both of his books and then talk a little bit about freelance writing for Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we essentially just finished posting all of our Denver Comic Con interviews because we talked to so many people.
Yep. The last one came out June 30th, so it's very, very close in that podcast feed.
Okay. So there's a little thing I like to do called Final Thoughts. This is where you could say whatever the heck you want about what we've been talking about or anything else. Tell people again about your social media and all that kind of good stuff. Okay. So we're going to go around the table and everybody gets a final thought. We'll start with Giles.
Final thought, follow us on Twitter and subscribe.
Beyond
to
the Trope.
Feed. Beyond the Trope. Subscribe to our feed. You can get links to iTunes or Stitcher through our website, beyondthetrope.com. We also have a direct link to the RSS feed if you have a different pod reader or whatever. Aside
losers.
From that. Basically. And so
if you still have a Microsoft Zune somewhere.
Or if you're pulling in from another aggregator or something, if you're on podbay.fm or something like that, you can get us there. Other than that, read Jim Butcher.
Read Jim Butcher.
Yeah,
of course, you would.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are so predictable.
Go write stuff.
Go write stuff.
Or read stuff. Or both, if you're a writer.
Both at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you can do that because you can't multitask.
No, I can't. Not with books and writing. Final thoughts. Diversity is important, damn it. Again, you can find me on Twitter at Emily K. Singer.
Go read your book.
Go read my story, except I don't get paid for it.
That's okay.
Colfax Kitsune and the Crossing Colfax Anthology. Hopefully I will have another one out in December.
And for the listeners who don't know, Denver Colfax is the
longest, wickedest street in America.
Longest contiguous road in America. Yes. And it's great because you can go down a 2-block section of Colfax and see a church and a drug dealer and a liquor store and a church and a hooker and a liquor store and a church.
And a pay-by-the-hour motel.
Pay-by-the-hour mm-hmm. motel, liquor store.
Probably a closed pay-by-the-hour motel right next door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Car dealership.
Music store.
Tattoo parlor.
Lots of things.
And the state capitol.
Yep.
Yes.
All right there. That's convenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very convenient.
All your vices in government to control it. Or wow. not, as they see fit.
I got deep.
Yeah.
But diversity is important.
Diversity is important, damn it. The damn it has to be on there.
Because she's not allowed to say that on our family-friendly podcast.
I'm not.
Ah. Yeah.
And I feel that strongly about it.
Gotcha.
Last thoughts from Michelle?
I don't know. I just think that this was really fun.
Good.
Yeah, and thanks for having us.
If listeners so had fun listening to this, you really should listen to our podcast because we're like this pretty much all the time.
There you go.
We're just so awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it.
Maybe a little more high energy depending on where we are in the recording day. By episode 4 or 5, if we're pushing for 5 episodes, it's so slow. Like, 15 minutes is long enough for this episode, right?
Right?
Yeah.
15's good. Good job, everybody. Let's go watch a movie.
Well, thanks to everybody for coming on. Yeah, thanks for coming over, having some pizza.
Thanks for the pizza. That's the real reason I came.
I know, right? Yeah, well, you brought cookies. So cookies are always awesome.
I did bring cookies.
Of course, bear claws are better, but that's fine. That's fine.
Sorry.
I understand.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time I'll remember.
Awkward silence.
It wasn't awkward until you said something.
You're welcome. That's
normal
my job,
silence.
Isn't it?
Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends and so on and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF and F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
It's like talking to a child.
Magic Wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
I don't even know what the horseman is.
And scene, you bastard.